الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutations upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in our today's silsila, blessings of Quran, we will discuss a very important topic named spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And they spend in our path out of our provided sustenance. This is a portion of an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 3. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, before we understand the virtues of spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to know what type of spending or what type of wealth is accepted in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam Tabarani has reported a hadith from Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever's wealth is haram, zakat would not be taken from his wealth. Because zakat is an ibadat, zakat is an obligatory duty. And his wealth is not pure. Therefore, this obligatory duty would not be performed from such wealth. Imam Tabrani reports a hadith in Mu'jam Awsat from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when someone goes for Hajj with his halal earnings and he sits on his conveyance and he says Allahumma labbaik, an angel calls from the sky and he says labbaika wa sa'adaika, your spending is halal, your conveyance is halal, your Hajj is valid, and there is no sin in it. And when someone goes on Hajj with his haram wealth, and he sits on his conveyance, and he says, Labbaik, an angel calls from sky, and he says, your saying Labbaik is not accepted. Your spending money is haram. Your Hajj is invalid and not accepted. Hazrat Imam Tirmizi radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports a hadith that Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept salat or namaz without purity, without tahara. and he does not accept charity from stolen wealth or from stolen goods. From these ahadith, we learn a very important masala of Sharia. And ulama ikram have said, if someone has collected wealth through haram means, and now he wants to get rid of this wealth, its method is that he should return that wealth to the original owner of that wealth. And if he passed away, for example, then give that wealth or money to the inheritors of that person or heirs of that person. And if they are not found, then give that wealth in charity on that person's behalf from whom you have taken the money. However, it is not jais, it is not allowed to pay zakat from that wealth or give any type of charity or undertake the journey of Hajj or Umrah. Allama Shami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that if a person gives something to a poor man from his haram wealth and he hoped reward or sawab because of doing that, he is out of the fold of Islam. He becomes kafir. And if the faqir or the poor person knows that the money which has been given to him is haram, and he supplicates for the giver, he makes dua for the giver, and the giver says Ameen, then both are kafir. But remember that the charge of kufr would only be enforced if it is proven with the categorical proofs that that wealth was haram. For example, it was earned via riba or interest or via selling wine or liquor or, na'uzu billah, via committing adultery. After the preface of this discussion, I'm sure that everybody is clear that the money that we need to spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal must be halal, must be earned via the legitimate and lawful means. Now we get to the explanation of Ayah Karima. Keep in mind that there are three words in this Ayah Karima: Mimma and Razaqnahum and Yunfiqu. The word Mimma starts with Min. This Min is Tab'idiyah. Tab'idiyah means it gives the meaning of portion. It's a portional Min. This would mean that person should spend some wealth, not the whole wealth. So it is not allowed for a person to give his whole wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal and not fulfill the responsibilities. For example, his wife, his children, other people whose rights he has to fulfill. And because he has given everything away, no, he can't fulfill those rights. That's not allowed. And secondly, there is possibility that when he gives everything away in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he then has to beg in order to fulfill his needs. And begging is haram. Begging is only allowed in extreme circumstances. Now, giving every cent, giving whole of his wealth was nafil, was mustahab. And in order to perform a mustahab, he is now committing haram. So therefore, our Sharia, that the law of Islam says that you should give part of it in the path of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody might think, well, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala gave everything in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Did he not do something right? No. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is exempted from this principle. Why? Because his level of tawakkul and trust in Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal was very high. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the knowledge of unseen with Allah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided him, saw the condition of his heart. Therefore, he did not stop him and he accepted everything which Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala brought in the holy court of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we are ordinary people and we should follow the normal rules, and the normal rules are that we should spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal a part of our wealth. And also we learn, and there is an indication in this ayah karima, that normally we have two types of wealth, halal and haram. Haram, we discussed it, that one should not spend haram in the path of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So only money which you can spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal is the halal money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept besides what is tayyib and halal, besides what is pure and lawful. And sometimes we have things which are extra torn, broken, and we want to give that as a charity in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. This also should not be done. We should give good things, favorite things, nice things, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 92, it is in the beginning of fourth para. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall never attain virtue until you spend your favorite things in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. This ayah karima makes it very clear that when we spend something in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, we should ponder upon it. Is this something that I like? Is this something that I love? Is this something which is my favorite? Then, inshallah Azza wa Jal, you would attain piety and virtue. Then we move forward with the next word, and that is razaqna. Razaqna is from the word rizq. And the meaning of rizq, or the literal meaning of rizq, is hiba, or ata, or grant, or gift, or bestowal. But in the terminology of Sharia, rizq is everything which benefits living beings. Anything that lives can benefit from it, that is rizq. So therefore, air is rizq, water is rizq, foods are rizq, the earth is rizq, even the children are rizq. All these ni'mats are the rizq, is the sustenance from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this ayah karima says that from the rizq which Allah has provided, spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. What it means? It means that air which you breathe, which you inhale, few breaths you should spend in the remembrance of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So this would be counted as spending from that particular rizq in the form of air. Similarly, if you have many children, and normally people send their children to secular schools for the academic studies, and people want them to become doctors, engineers, lawyers, accountants, scientists, etc., because they want worldly benefits, they want their children to earn fair amount of money. So if you have many children, then at least One of your children should become Hafiz al-Quran and Alim Deen. So this would be counted as spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal from this particular risk which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you in the form of children. So similar are the examples of anything that you can think of which is beneficial. Part of it should be given in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. We should educate our children that they are the branch of a particular root. You are their root. And they must know their values. They must know their culture. Today we have this very big problem everywhere in the world, especially in the Western world. We migrate with the intention of earning well and having better life and improving the quality of life. Yes, we do gain some benefits, but there are many losses when it comes to the matter of children. Children grow up in that environment. They have no respect for parents. Parents are too busy in earning money. Standards of life are such that both the parents need to work. And when children come back from school, they are with TV, they are with internet, with their mobile phones, and you can imagine the amount of evils which are available on all these mediums that we have discussed. So therefore they lose their values. So we need to remind them, we need to educate them that they belong to the roots of Islam. Their parents are Muslims, their grandparents are Muslim, their forefathers are Muslims. But sometimes it is too late. So there is an opportunity still open. Bring them to the environment of Dawat Islam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are many who have gone away from the straight path. But Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has changed them. So it's never too late, whether you are in your 50s, or in your 40s, or in your 30s, or in your 20s, or younger than that, you still can come into the environment of Dawat Islami and reform yourself and improve yourself and become a better Muslim. In Shariat, there are 7 types of spending which are counted as ibadat or as worship. Number 1 is zakat. And there are many types of zakat. Zakat of gold, silver, of animals, of produce of your farms, your vegetables, your crops, your fruits, etc. So one needs to learn all these masail. It is obligatory. It is from the fard ulum, from the obligatory branches of knowledge. When zakat becomes fard upon you, you need to know the masail of zakat. Number 2 is sadaqah fitr. Sadaqah fitr is that charity which you give at the end of Ramadan, because it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, if you don't give sadaqah fitr, your fasts are pending or hanging in between the earth and the skies. They would only reach to the door of acceptance if you pay your sadaqah fitr. And number 3 is nafli sadaqat. Those are optional charities. For example, serving your guests, providing food for them, helping orphans, widows, or upbringing orphan children, helping someone who is in debt so he can pay his debts, spending your money in Giyarmi Sharif, in Milad Sharif, in Ur Sharif, all that is counted as optional charities or nafli sadaqat. Number 4 is waqf. And waqf has many different shapes. For example, spending money in the masajid, spending money in the madrasas, in the Darul Ulooms, in Jamiatul Madina, in Madrasatul Madina, to build up bridges, guest houses, libraries for the benefit of Muslim public. So that is also a form of charity upon which person gets thawab. And number five is Hajj, spending your money in Hajj. And we have discussed very clearly that how you should be spending and what type of money you should be spending. And number six is Jihad. Jihad is the struggle in the path of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And number seven is to spend your money on your close relatives, your wife, your children, your parents, and your other relatives who are poor. I would like to draw the attention of Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel that sometimes there are family members who are poor. Amongst our cousins, uncles, aunties. And there are many people who don't care about them. They're wealthy, they give a lot of money in donations, they give charities all over the world. But their own relatives are deprived and they're suffering. Our deen doesn't like that. This is not the teachings of Islam. The teachings of Islam is that you should rebond with your relatives. And by helping them, you would rebond with them, and this is very good practice. And then the last word which is mentioned in this ayah karima is yunfiqoon. The root word of infaq or yunfiqoon, spending, is noon fa qaf, nafaqa. And it means to separate. If something is together, you separate them. Spending in the path of Allah means that you had the money at one place, now you take it, you separate that from yourself. So that's why it's called infaq, and this is spending. And this is the reason that a munafiq is called munafiq. It's from the very same root word. Because his tongue and his heart are separate from each other. What is in his heart? His tongue is not representing that. His tongue is saying something else, and his heart is saying something else. Therefore, he's called munafiq. The holes of a fox in the jungle are called nafiqa. Why are they called nafiqa? Because there are many. That's the habit of fox. Fox is a very clever animal. It always keeps an emergency exit, and no one knows that. So, because it has separate holes. So those holes are called nafiqa. So wherever the meaning of separate comes, then the word nafaq or nafaqa comes there. The spending money that we have is also called nafaqa. Like we go and we buy in the marketplace, we got 100 rands or dollars or pounds or rupees. We spend 10 rupees for this and 10 for this and 20 for that. So now, before that 100 rupee were at one place, now you separate them at different places. Therefore, it is called nafaka. And we also learn from this ayah karima that spending is of many types. One type of spending is haram, like buying liquor with the money or go and gamble. That spending is haram. And then there's a jais spending. Jais spending is mean lawful, allowed. That is to spend on worldly matters. And then there is mustahab, recommended spending, and sunnah spending, and fard, obligatory spending. So this last type of spending is meant in this ayah karima that, O believers, spend your money in that which is mustahab, or which is sunnat, or which is fard, so you may attain the pleasure and the raza of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sufi Akram say that in this ayah karima, as we understand that one should spend from apparent ni'mats and the bounties of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, he should spend from the hidden ni'mats and the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. Therefore, a person who is rich,
he should spend from his wealth. And the one who is an alim-e-deen, he should spend his knowledge upon people, he must educate them. And mujahid, a warrior, person in struggle in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, should spend his life. And those who are abids, worshippers, Sufis, they should spend their heart. And what it means that they should spend their hearts? It means that they should empty their hearts from all the worldly worries and matters, and purify it and clean it, and let the manifestations of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal reside in the heart. Worldly worries are needed as well for the life to continue, for the blood to flow. But worldly matters or the love of worldly things should not enter the heart. Let me give you an example to understand these beautiful points of Sufiya Ikram. They say that if boat is in the water, it is safe and you can reach your destination. But if the water comes into the boat will sink and you will drown and you will die. So if you are in the world, that's fine, no problem with that. But if the world comes into you, mean into your heart, if the money, you are in money, you are in wealth, that's fine. And if the money is in you, mean if the love of wealth or money or luxuries or comforts of this world enters your heart, then you are in danger, and that should not happen to a Muslim. We also learn from this beautiful verse that it is the law of nature that when you spend something, it grows, it increases. If an alim-e-deen does not spend his knowledge, mean he doesn't discuss the knowledge, he doesn't teach anyone, he will wash in his hands one day from that knowledge, mean he will forget about it. If you don't take out water from a well, the water will get dirty. If you don't cut the branches of tree, then that tree will not bear much fruit in the next year. You see in the farms, in the gardens, farmers, they cut the branches of tree. Why they do that? Because they know if they take something out of that tree, they'll get more fruit. So similarly, if person does not spend his wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, the growth comes to an end. Growth in his wealth will come to an end. So if you want your money to grow, if you want your wealth to grow, you need to spend your wealth. And we also learn from this ayah kareema that something which is given to you and it's more than your need, there are others who have right in it, and you should spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's take an example. A she-dog gives birth to puppies, and she has only that much milk which is just enough for the puppies. She doesn't have more milk. But a cow or a buffalo has got more milk than the need of the calf. Therefore, cow and buffalo gives its milk away because others have right in it. It is due to the generosity of cows and buffaloes that we are drinking milk and we are making so many tasty, beautiful, nice things out of that milk. Doesn't that tell you the nature? The nature doesn't teach us or tell us that when something is extra, more than you need, there are others who have right in it and you should be spending to help others. So we learn from this ayah kareema that some of it you should be spending. What is more than your need? Why you want to keep it? For what you want to keep it? One day you're going to die, and all will remain behind. There is nothing that you can take with you in your grave. It would be you and your shroud, your coffin, full stop. And if you want to accumulate a lot of money and leave behind, and your children are not following Sharia and they start using that wealth and doing haram things, going and gambling and drinking and going to clubs and doing all the wrong things, what will happen to you in the grave? So think about it. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, there's another example I would like to give to make us comprehend and understand why should we spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We pay tax to government. If we don't pay tax to government, then what happens? We are criminals. Why are we criminals? Governments will say, we help you in so many matters. We have established so many departments to look after your interest. We have police department who look after you. We have army that stand on borders and look after the country. We provide you hospitals, schools. We look after your businesses. And you don't want to give us a portion of your wealth so we can pay the salaries to all these people who are working in these departments and run the affairs of government? It's unfair. You should give something. And if you're not giving, you are going to be put in the jail. So this is an example for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything, every ni'mat, every bounty He gave us. And then He asks that, give something in my path. And if we don't give, would we not be criminals? Yes, we would be criminals. In the case of government, government doesn't give you the money. You earn your money. But they still take a portion of it. But in the case of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives us. And then He asks us to give something back, gives reward on it, and will give us the benefit when we close our eyes and when we die. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will get thawab and we will get paradise. There are beautiful examples that ulama ikram and sufia ikram have given. They say the one who spends, his wealth grows. And the example of that is that there are two people who have two bags of wheat grains. One decides to take those grains and sow them in the ground, sow the seed. So apparently, he has lost his grains. But the other one says, no, I'll keep my grains with me. So his wheat will come to an end one day. People will eat it up. His family will eat it up. But end of the day, whose wealth grew? Not the one who kept his grains with him, but the one who went and spent it. And after that, he'll have many more bags of grains that for the next year, he can have enough to eat. So, isn't that is a beautiful example for us to understand that when you spend, your wealth does not decrease. In fact, your wealth increases. So this is a beautiful recipe. If you want to become rich, then don't steal, don't rob, don't do wrong things, don't cheat, don't take interest. There's other way, legal way, beautiful way, helpful way, which would uplift the community as well, and which will grow your wealth as well. And that is to spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grow your wealth. There's a beautiful story in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to the Nabi of that time. And He told him that, tell so-and-so that I have decided that half of his life would be in riches and half of his life would be in poverty. But he can choose which half he wants to live in poverty and he wants to live in riches. First one or the second one? He decided that I want that my first half life must be in riches. And I want to be wealthy in my first half life. And when he became rich, he started spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal more than what he spent on himself. And when half of his age or life passed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to the Nabi of that time that tell this person, I have increased his wealth because he thanked me for the bounty, for the ni'mah which I have bestowed upon him, and thanking the ni'mat of Allah Azza wa Jal increases the ni'mat. So I gave him the ni'mat of wealth, he thanked me for that ni'mat, therefore that particular ni'mat will increase and he will not be poor anymore. Even the rest of his half life, in that he will also be rich. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madini Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we learn some beautiful Madini flowers from this discussion. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand the teachings of Quran and give us chance and tawfiq to practice upon it. And after understanding, we may pass these informations to others. We're talking about spending in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we learned that there are so many forms and ways to spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as you know that Dawat Islami in today's time is doing wonderful work in the world in serving Deen. So there is an opportunity for you to make your contribution. So those beautiful activities which are taking place can sustain and can continue. This is the time of Eid al-Adha. And especially I would like to say in Urdu, ke Eid al-Adha ke mauka par apni khalein aap Dawat Islami ko dein. Ke aapki khalon ki wajah se bahut sare deen ke kaam inshallah azza wa jal paya takmeel ko pahunchenge. Allah Ta'ala hame neki karne ki aur نیکی کو سپورٹ کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. آمین بجاہ النبی الامین صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم.
مبلغ for you it's my prayer, may you keep ascending success stair.